And I want to bring you a message this morning, and I doubt I'll get finished with it, but that's all right. There's one good thing about the Word of God. It will not spoil. And some meals, you have to eat it while it's hot and eat it the same day, or just isn't good. But most of meals, is actually better the second day. You know, you do that with spaghetti and homemade soup. I like for, the day that you make it, the seasoning's all in there, but just isn't, what'd you say, Perry? Just hadn't gelled and come together. I want to speak to you on this thought, good news worth sharing. Good news worth sharing. Now that Paul is finished with his introduction, he makes a beeline, so to speak, back to the subject of his epistle with a powerful statement here in verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The great subject of this epistle is the gospel of Christ. That Paul spoke of in the first four verses of his epistle. And verse number 1, look at it again with me. Paul, and a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. And after that, he began his introduction to the people of Rome, to those believers who he had not met previously. And he's introducing himself, but now he's finished with all of that preliminary stuff. And he makes a beeline right back to the gospel of Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So the general subject, the great subject, the good news worth sharing. When I first heard that term used, talking about the gospel, good news, it was back in 1965, 66, or 67. Pastor R.A. White, Preacher White is what I called him. I wanted to be like him. In a lot of ways, I am. He was a little bit bigger than I am, so I'm like him in that sense. But Preacher White was my idol. Preacher White was my he was the man in my life. One Christmas program we were having, and we were bringing all the children up to Sunday school classes and lining up in the pulpit, in front of the pulpit, and my mama said, "You get to stand up there where Preacher White does." And boy, I was ready. And I come to my part, and I made a step out. And Mom said, "Well, it was all right. He just wants to." But then I turned, and I made my way, and I was behind. I was standing there, said my part. Nobody could see me, but I was standing where Preacher White stands. I tell you what, and Preacher White started a new church. We left the Southern Baptist organization, and for whatever reason, I didn't understand it all at that time, and we became an independent Baptist church, and the name of the church was Good News Baptist. And I thought, why? What's? And the good news is the gospel. The gospel. You could have said Gospel Baptist, it would have been meant the same thing. But that was the first time I'd ever heard the term as the gospel being referred to as good news. So the general subject, the great subject, the good news worth sharing, Paul's message in verse number 1 is the gospel of God, which he declares in verse 16. He said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is this gospel, that's this good news, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The word gospel is a favorite word of the Apostle Paul. Good news was what Paul rejoiced to possess, but he also rejoiced in the fact to proclaim this gospel. The gospel is truly good news. It's not just good advice. It's good news. Now, it is this gospel of Christ, this gospel of God, this good news, this glad tidings that Paul delights himself, delighted in for himself, and not only for himself, but also for his readers, that he is not ashamed of it. Last night we had Brother John and Sister Gloria over for dinner, and we watched again. Me and Arlene had seen it before. We watched this movie, and if you haven't seen it, I recommend you do. God Is Not Dead. And we watched this, and this time I really got into the characters and the different scenarios and what was going on in their life. But the pressure that was put upon this boy by the name of Josh in this college to write on his paper the very first day in a psychology class, God is dead. And he wouldn't write it because he told the professor, I'm a born-again Christian, and I'm just not going to say that. And he said, then you'll take a failing grade. And he stood up to the pressure of his professor. He stood up to the pressure of his girlfriend. Just sign it and do away. You're going to ruin your chances for your future. And all the different scenarios in the different people's lives, I thought about it. How often are we ashamed? Given the opportunity, given the moment, and it only lasts for a moment sometimes, to give a gospel witness, to say something about our Lord and our Savior, but because of different things and pressures, we cannot say, as the Apostle Paul said so boldly, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The first time I ever became very acquainted with this verse was through Brother Joe Olashay and his radio program, Manna in the Morning. He always come on quoting, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And he was a Jew, a converted Jew. He said, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. But Paul, he's proclaiming this great news, and he's not ashamed of it. The gospel is good news from God. Can we say this morning that this good news, of which God is the author, is that which we have at New Hope, and we're not ashamed of it? I tell you what, you will not find, you will not hear a lot of churches preaching the blood, preaching the cross, singing the old song. Many song books, they've taken the songs that mention the... Our Methodist friends, I looked at some of their hymn books. You cannot find there is a fountain. You cannot find the song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. And as in a way, I sense that they are ashamed. Ashamed of the gospel. Now, out of the blue, the Apostle Paul makes another one of his I am confessions. If you remember last week, we noted that Paul said in verse number 14, I am a debtor, or I am debtor. And then in verse number 15, as we looked at last Sunday night, I am ready. And now in verse 16, he says, I am not ashamed. He made three I am statements concerning the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this may sound a little awkward to us in the day and age that we live. Why should, we may be thinking to ourselves, why should Paul why should Paul be ashamed? Or what would make, and for him out of the blue to make his declaration, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You see, there was a lot of things going on. First of all, those in Rome were wondering, why hasn't Paul come? And Paul explained that, and he said, my desire is to be there. I'm ready to preach because I want to impart spiritual gifts. I want to have fruit among you as well as other Gentiles. So there was a lot of things going on behind the scene. And now he makes this declaration. Now maybe we should think about this in Paul's shoes. Put ourselves where he sits, where he walks. Maybe we need to, a little understanding of the times and the culture of Paul's day. Now, we may understand, we need to understand, some might have been ashamed of the preaching of the message of the Apostle Paul. Because he, Paul said, in verse number 1, he said, I was separated unto this gospel. I was separated unto the gospel of God. Now, what are some of the reasons why the Apostle Paul might have been ashamed? What are some of the reasons that you and I sometimes are ashamed? Paul declared, and he backed up what he said with his life. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I thought of some reasons. I tried to jot them down. And we can relate to a lot of these. Because things have not changed that much. There was the moral condition of that day. The moral condition of that day. Nero is the emperor of Rome. Nero was a wicked, Nero was a corrupt, a degenerate man. Rome was the cesspool of sin. It is the conqueror of the entire known world at that time. No one else threatened Rome. Everywhere they went, they brought it in. They made it part of themselves. And Rome is the cesspool of sin. And the gospel Paul was separated unto was totally opposed to everything that Rome was or is. So the moral condition of that day, the moral condition of our day, sometimes, if we are a weak and anemic Christian, will make us ashamed. Because it's totally opposite. No one wants to be on the outside looking in. There's something in it we want to be a part of. We want to be included. But there will come a time in our lives when we have to make our stand. We will have to say, this is where I stand, and this is the gospel that I believe, and this is the gospel that I proclaim. This is the Christ that I serve. In the early days of New Hope Baptist Church, myself, I did not realize it. Looking back, hindsight is 20/20. But in those early days, the first 9 months that we opened the doors to have public worship, public services, I only had one person to preach to, and that was my wife. And I think she was there just out of obligation. But for 9 months, Travis, I get up on Sunday morning, I led the singing. We didn't have no music. We did have Mrs. Green. Bless her heart. Now, she's in retirement right now. But I would sing, we would sing songs. I even passed an offering plate. She passed it back. And for 9 months, during the week, I'd prepare sermons just like if there was going to be 100 people there. And for 9 months, I preached every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. And not one person. You say, well, what was going on? I believe the Lord was testing me, testing my wife. And the story goes that we went off to West Virginia and came back with Andrew. And that next service, we had 14 people. And from that day on, there's always been somebody besides my wife. Of course, Andrew was there. But there have been more come in to this day here. We cleared off a piece of ground and said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I could have looked around. Paul could have looked around at the moral condition, and it could have made him hesitant. Then another reason, Paul was a Jew. Paul was a Jew. By many of Paul's day, Jews were considered a subhuman race. Much like in Hitler's day. Just a race of people to bring in and do all kinds of cruel medical experiments and when you were finished, just annihilate them. And the world's going to be better off without them. They actually thought of the Jews as a subhuman race. They were despised. They were mistreated. Pharaoh kept them in captivity for 400 years. And it was because of the whip of the taskmaster that he cried out to God, and God ultimately delivered them. They were mistreated people, and an ordinary Jew would be tempted just to shy away from anybody else, just to stay to themselves. Another reason I think the Apostle Paul could have been ashamed that he makes this declaration, I'm not ashamed. This good news that Paul preached was almost unbelievable. And you think about it. Think about this gospel of Christ of which Paul spoke of in verses 2 and verse number 4 of this very first chapter. He said, he had promised afore by his prophets in Holy Scripture concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Almost an unbelievable gospel. This man, Christ, was said to be the Savior of mankind, of man. He claimed to be the Son of God. He even claimed to be God Himself. I and my Father are one, He declared. Yet He claimed to be man also. He had died on a Roman cross. A symbol of shame. But in dying this death, he was said to have died for all men. And if that is not enough, this man was said to have risen on the third day after his death. They even had Roman guards. A Roman seal was put upon the tomb. Anybody that breaks it had to answer to the power of Rome. And yet, the God-man The Lord Jesus Christ. The one that said, no man takes my life. I lay it down and I'm able to take it back. On that third day, as the earth began to shake and the tomb was opened, those Roman guards that were set there was fell as dead men. It's almost unbelievable. Paul even said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18, Paul said, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness. But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. Things haven't changed that much since Paul's day. Another reason for Paul or some to be ashamed. Think about how Paul was treated wherever he went to preach this good news. Most places didn't have a ticker tape parade. They didn't have a neon sign at the entrance of the city. Welcome, the Apostle Paul. He was mistreated. We read last week out of 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24, how he suffered all these things. I mean, being beaten with stripes, being stoned and left for dead, being in shipwreck, being in hunger and thirst and all of these things. Yet the Apostle Paul got up and dusted himself off and said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Many would have given up. And may I say, many have. Many have. We've seen quite a few come and we've seen quite a few go. This life exodus, they went out with our blessings. I mean, I'm talking about Andrew and TJ and them. They're spreading the gospel. Where they go, where they went. But some have just quit. Not a lot has changed. So Paul did not quit preaching. Again, look at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This good news, this that is worth sharing because it's worth sharing because it is the power of God. It is the power of God. Let's focus for a little bit up on the power of God. Then we will take some time later on and we'll look at the plan and some other aspects of the gospel. First of all, the power of God. The word power there in verse number 16, the Greek word is dunamis. It means dynamite. Some of you that may be familiar with an old sitcom, but there was a black boy by the name of J.J. Walker. And he would come on, and anybody said something he liked, he'd say, dynamite! This is the word. It refers to the might. It refers to the energy, to the strength that dwelled within God Almighty. Now, when we think about it, God could have revealed His power against sin any way that He chooses or chose. Any way. God could have wiped mankind off of the face of the earth. I mean, God could have, He could have done anything because the Almighty, with all power, doesn't have to ask any questions. I mean, He could have done exactly what He wanted to. No problem. But what a blessing that when the Lord moved to do something about sin, He exercised His mighty power, His dynamite, in sending us His gospel of grace wrapped up in His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's good news. That's the gospel. Nowhere is the power of God as visible. Well, preacher, what about the power of God in creation? What about the power of God in the moon and the stars and in Adam and all of that? I'm telling you today, nowhere is the power of God more visible as it is in the gospel of Christ. Just think about it. When God takes a lost sinner and saves us by His grace and makes us a new creature, that's a powerful thing. Powerful thing. Turns their life around. Not a 360 degree turn. A 180 degree turn. We were on our way to hell. Now we're on our way to heaven. We were running away from God. Now we're trying to run to God. Everything that we despised, we now love. Everything that we loved, we now despise. The Bible declares, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away. Behold, all things. That's power. Amen. I can't change people's minds. I can't change people's hearts. Only God can do that. We most definitely have a good news worth sharing. When God could have sent us to hell, but instead He loved us. And that love is in His Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank the Lord. He loved us first. John said over in 1 John 4 and verse number 19, we love Him because He first loved us. Paul said to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6. I can understand where Paul said, I marvel. I'm amazed. I'm astonished. I'm flabbergasted. Whatever you want. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that have called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. How many different gospels are being preached today? I mean, you think about it. There's the gospel of the leaf turners. You know, all you have to do is turn over a new leaf. Some people do it weekly. Now, the fall of the year, they kind of run out of leaves. But I mean, They say, I'm not going to do that again. Oh, my goodness, I'm embarrassed. What did I do? I'm going to turn over a new leaf. And I'm going to suffer. And that lasts about 24 hours. The gospel of the leaf turners. That would be called the gospel of religion. The world's full of it. The gospel of materialism. Where people... That a person's worth is determined in how much they can get, how much they have. Gain is the goal of their life. They're searching for happiness, and if they can just get more, they'll be happy. Jesus said, Matthew 16, verse number 26, Jesus said, for what is a man? What is a profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, there's a lot in hell today to give anything. Give it all. You realize there are no unbelievers in hell? Hell is full of believers. The second, the millisecond, they left this world, as the rich man, in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the Bible says he opened his eyes in hell. What was the first thing he started doing? Praying. Praying to the wrong person, praying to Father Abraham, but he was praying. So there's believers in hell and there's praying people in hell. What would they give in exchange? What has it profited? What is his worth? To have the whole world, to have everything that you can think of, and lose your own soul. Then there's the gospel, the social gospel that has been preached. I'm okay, you're okay, God will accept us the way we are. Now there's this element of truth there. We can come to Him and He will take us just the way we are. He'll change us, but He'll accept us exactly the way we are. But this thought that I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, and God's a loving God, and He'll not send anybody to hell. There's a lot of truth to it, but it's mixed with a lie. But the gospel message, the good news that Paul preaches, that Paul preached, says that we are sinners. And if we die in our sins, we will go to hell. Hell's a real place. There's real people. There's real agony. There's real torment. What will a man give in exchange? However, God loved us. Amen. God loved us. And sent His Son to die for our sins and rose from the dead. And if we will put our faith in Him, then we will be saved. That's almost unbelievable. But it's true. It's true. And I, with the Apostle Paul, want to declare today, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. look at chapter 15. The Apostle Paul, the writer, also here, and he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. If Paul was addressing in person New Hope Baptist Church, would we be able to say amen? That's exactly where I stand. That's my position. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I'm not ashamed of the cross. I'm not ashamed of Christ. As He said right here, wherein ye stand. Verse number 2 says, by which also we are saved. If we keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Very important. Very important. Any gospel, any message that is preached and is not according to the Word of God is a false gospel. According to the Scripture. And that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. What is the gospel? It is the death, it is the burial, it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if we'll put our faith in the finished work of the cross, we can be saved. Not only for eternity, but it can change our life right now. A lot of people, I don't understand, they may come to Christ and for whatever, they want to escape hell. They'll escape it if they believe, they truly believe. But it'll change your life right now. Not only for life, but also in eternity. Well, I tell you what, it's the best thing. The best thing. It's good news worth sharing. And yet, we're pretty bold sitting right here between these four walls. We're pretty bold. We sing the song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. We sing the songs, There is a Fountain Filled with Blood. We shake each other's hand and we're pretty bold. We got to leave those doors back there. And things happen. Things are different. It's all right when we're among our own brothers and sisters. We're not ashamed here, but out there, can we declare with the Apostle Paul, first of all, we've got to recognize we're debtor. We've got to be ready. Because at that moment, we'll come and test whether we're ashamed or not. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. There's no other way. It is the power of God. There's no other way to heaven. No other way to have your sins cleansed than through the Lord Jesus Christ.